Today is found in the second book of Samuel, chapter 1, 2, and 3. We left off last week, as you know, speaking about David being in Ziklag, how he had likewise been given to be strengthened by God, and how that he was given the fulfillment of the promise that he recovered all. And we find in the commencement of this chapter, the first chapter in the second book of Samuel, that David has returned now to Ziklag. In all probabilities, he was restoring the desolations that the Amalekites had done. They had burned everything to the ground, and now David had to restore this all back again to be able to live in this particular place which the king Achish had given unto him. And it was the third day, and we find that there came a man with earth upon his head and his clothes rent, coming to David to Ziklag. And when he came, he fell down before David, and he did obeisance to him. And David, he inquired of this young man where he came from, and he said that he came out of the camp of Israel. And David said, "How did it go?" For there wasn't anyone more concerned than David about how that this battle between the Israelites and the Philistines had went. And this man began to describe how that he, by chance, had come upon Mount Gilboa, and as he was there, why the battle was so strong and so severe, and the chariots and the horsemen they had followed so hard after Saul, that he seen Saul leaning on his spear. He told David that many of the people of Israel had died, and many of the sons of Saul also had died. And likewise, Saul and Jonathan were dead. And he begins to describe unto David how that he found Saul leaning on his spear. And Saul seen him and called him and asked him who he was. And he said he was an Amalekite. And Saul said unto him, "Stand upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, for my life is still in me." And he says, "I stood upon him and I slew him, because I knew that he could not live." This young man then came with news to David, which David was very anxious to hear. He came, as you and I would think, with good news. He came to tell David that Saul, his enemy, was dead, and actually that he had slain him. Now this news was not good news to David, as it appears, for when he had heard what this young man had said, we read that David, he rent his clothes, and he began to weep and lament that Saul and Jonathan had fallen, and likewise the people of Israel had fallen in this battle. I and you would think, well, David would have been elated that this man Saul was dead, this enemy of his who had persecuted him, who had followed after him, who had attempted so many times to kill him, and for which David likewise had fled even into the land of the Philistines, for he was the reason thereof that David was in this enemy's territory. And now when this news came, David acted entirely different than you and I would think. Why did David lament? Why did he weep when he heard this? You and I would say, well, I can't understand this. I didn't either. I couldn't understand either how that David could weep and cry because Jonathan had died. But David was a man of God. In David's heart, there was this, that he could forgive sinners what they had done unto him. And truly, he had forgiven Saul all what he had ever done to him and all what he had attempted to do to him. And when he heard this, that Saul was dead and Jonathan was dead, then he rent his clothes and began to weep and to lament. Now this young man who told this story was an Amalekite. The question arises, did this young man tell the truth? When we read the last chapter of the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, we find that Saul, he committed suicide, as I described to you last week. He fell upon his own sword. And you read so distinctly that the armor bearer, who likewise was standing alongside of him, and whom he asked to slay him, would not do it. He, after he saw that Saul was dead, fell upon his own sword and died also. Now, taking this as a ground to prove that what this Amalekite said to David was a lie, we find that he said that he slew Saul, this Amalekite. Now, you know, Saul, he did not want to die by the hand of the Philistines. He wanted his armor bearer to slay him. Now, much less would he have wanted to die by the hand of an Amalekite. For God had given him commission to slay all the Amalekites, and he had not done that. And therefore, God had left him and forsaken him. He had not obeyed his commandment. And now for him to have this Amalekite slay him, it does not seem probable that this story is true. Every commentator says it's false. It's not true. He just put this story together. He probably had come upon this field of battle, and as one commentary says, he was one of these that hung outside of the camps. And after the battle, he would go and he would strip all the people that were slain, take everything off him what he could get. And that was this Amalekite. And now this Amalekite, he found Saul probably lying dead, and he had his crown on his head, and he had his bracelet on his hand, and he took his crown and his bracelet, and he forged this story. And he went to David with it, thinking, now David will be only too glad to hear that this Saul is dead, and he'll sure reward me. He'll sure give me a position when he comes to the throne, and I'll be next to him. And that's why he came to David with this story. But sad was his reward, my hearers. He was not rewarded as he thought he was going to be. But to come back to the story about David and the people that were with him, lamenting and weeping and crying because Jonathan and Saul and his brethren and the people had fell in the battle. It is true, my hearers, if we in this life have acquaintances, have members in our family that die, there is a place for grief, for sorrow, and for mourning. That is, when they pass away and they're lost forever, it's such a grief, it's such a sorrow to you who have in this way tried your utmost to win the soul for Christ. Oh, it is truly a grief and a sorrow for anyone to lose someone they love. And David, he likewise had lost a very good friend. Jonathan had been a wonderful friend to David. And now when this was given unto David to hear, we find him likewise speaking unto this Amalekite and saying unto him, from whence art thou? He says, I am an Amalekite. And David said to him, wast thou not afraid to put thy hand forth and slay the Lord's anointed? You know, David, he had so many opportunities to slay Saul, but he never would slay him. He never dared put his hand upon him. He respected the anointing that God had put upon this man, Saul. At one time, you remember Abishai, he wanted to go over and take his head off. No, he says to him, no man will be guiltless, he says, if he puts his hand upon the Lord's anointed. There'll be a day coming when God will take him away. He'll either die, he says, or he'll fall in battle. David would not put his hand upon the Lord's anointed. But this Amalekite had no respect for the anointing of God. This teaches us likewise, my hearers, how that we should respect those that are anointed by God. In the first place, let me teach you to respect him, that great and glorious Christ who was anointed by the Father to be a Savior over his church. He is called the Messiah, the Anointed One. And if ever God puts his Spirit into your hearts, my hearers, then you will have the greatest reverence, the greatest respect for this precious Christ who gave unto you to experience something of that same anointing. Another thing, my hearers, if God in his mercy and love sends unto us one of his servants anointed by his blessed Spirit and is given to preach his precious word, and you have felt in your own heart something of the anointing that this servant has brought forth, you will respect his servants. You will respect that anointing. Touch not my prophets, the Lord says, and do nothing to my anointed ones. Oh, remember, they are the apple of his eye. And you may slander them, you may speak against them, and they do have many faults, it is true. But if you ever have experienced that God has spoken through their mouth to your soul, you will respect them regardless of all their faults, and you will love them from your very heart. Touch not my anointed, the Lord says. David had great respect, and therefore when this young man said that he had slain him, David condemned him immediately and said, out of thy own mouth thou hast said that thou hast slain the Lord's anointed. And David called the young man out of his army, and this young man came and slew this Amalekite. He died right there. What a terrible reward he received. Was David just in slaying this man? To me and you, it appears that he wasn't. To me and you, we would say, well, why wasn't David happy? Why wasn't he glad when this young man came to him and gave him this news? Why didn't he reward this young man? David did not reward him. David had his life taken off of the earth for the simple reason that he had lied, and that he had said likewise that he was an Amalekite. God had commanded Saul to destroy the Amalekites. They were a nation that was supposed to be destroyed, every one of them. And Saul had not fulfilled the commandment of God. But now David, he takes the life of this Amalekite. David does what Saul did not do. And now when this took place, we find David likewise composing a song. You find that at the end of this chapter, that he begins to speak about how wonderful and how lovely that Saul and Jonathan were in their lives. What bold, fearless, and strong men they were. They were like eagles. They were lion-like. They were not afraid. Many times they went forth into battles together and were victorious. You take notice, David never says a word about Saul, that he followed after him, that he persecuted him, that he sought to kill him. Not one word did he say about Saul. But he speaks well about Saul. He speaks well about this king, and he speaks very well about Jonathan. This song, according to the commentary, is not an inspired song. I disagree with that. I believe the whole word of God is inspired. But the commentary says, no, this special song was taken out of a book called Jasher and put in this particular chapter. The commentary says that if it had been divinely inspired, it would have been in the Psalms. Therefore, we find it in this place. We totally disagree with the commentary in this respect. We believe that every word of God is inspired, and that holy men of old have written this word by the same Spirit. And David wrote this psalm too, I believe, by the Spirit of God. And now he speaks about Jonathan. Jonathan, you know, he was the son of Saul. And Jonathan, he was in line to become king if Saul died. But by the special anointing of God, Samuel had went and anointed David to be king. And Jonathan knew this. And Jonathan, he fell under what God designed to do. He fell in love with David when David took the head of Goliath. He loved David, and he was a very good friend of David. His friendship was sincere, it was honest, especially when he was in exile. And this young man, Jonathan, there's not one blot upon his character. Nothing like his father. He kept his promises. He fulfilled what he said to David, but not Saul. Saul would make a promise, and the next day he would break it. He would promise David that he wouldn't do him any hurt, and the next day he would take his army and go after him again, but not Jonathan. Jonathan, he loved David, and David loved him. They had made a covenant together, and therefore, when he heard that Jonathan was dead, he lamented very sorely. One of the best friends that he had upon this earth had died in battle. And therefore he grieved very much. And he speaks how wonderful the love of Jonathan had been to him. It surpassed the love of women. This man then loved David with a love that God had put into his soul. My hearers, if God ever gives you to love him, and I do hope that every one of my hearers would be the subject of this precious grace. What a wonderful grace this is for that triune God to love a sinner and to put that love into that sinner's heart. Irrespective of how he has lived and what he has done, it's so free, it's so sovereign, it's so wonderful. David says this love was so wonderful. And let me teach you that if God ever loves you and gives you to realize it and gives you to believe it, it will be so wonderful to you, you will be lost in amazement, lost in wonder. You will ever always say, whatever possessed thee to love me? Now, this love that Jonathan had likewise found a place in the heart of David. David was a type of Christ, and Jonathan is the type of the church, my hearers. And all when God sheds his love abroad in a sinner's heart, then that sinner in turn is given to love God and to love his son, Jesus Christ. All this love far surpasses all the love of any woman in this world. And you know love is a wonderful thing. God has given us that yet. For if he had not placed that in your heart and my heart, why, we'd be enemies. We'd hate each other. We'd try to destroy each other. But God has left yet a flame of love in our souls towards each other. And therefore we find that man and women unite together in marriage. They are bound together in love. And this love is very strong. Oh, you see it so, especially when one that you're married to, be it the woman or be it the man, if you love each other, whenever they're sick, whenever anything takes place with them that they're hurt, why, you feel in your very heart that you wish you could do something for them. When you see somebody that you love, your wife or your husband, just pining away with a deadly disease, there's no cure for it. Oh, you stand at the bedside, my hearers, so helpless. Oh, you would want to do everything to spare that life. You would want to make it as comfortable as you could. That's love. That's a feeling for each other. I hope that you may have this feeling. You will have it if it's one of yours. It's a wonderful feeling to have. But it is something, too, to be so helpless. And then when it passes away, all the thoughts that you have concerning that one that you love, that's what David had. But now, my hearers, this love that God sheds abroad in the sinner's heart, It far surpasses this love. Believe me. Oh, I know it. I've experienced it. I would never be able to speak about it. It's a love, my hearers, that overcomes all the love of this world, all the love that you have to sin, all the love that you have to any creature, even if it is your wife and your children. Oh, you love this God above all. You ever have that? Oh, wonderful it is to have this, my heroes. Not everyone is the subject of this love. Oh, God loves his children with an everlasting love, and this love is shed abroad in the heart of a sinner. And this love far surpasses any love to be found in the hearts of any human beings towards each other. And now, if you have this love, you will be like Jonathan and David. You may meet someone, and this person begins to describe how God began a work of grace in their hearts, how he shed that love abroad in their hearts. And instantly you're knitted together. Instantly you hear that that's one of God's dear children. Oh, you begin to feel inwardly such a feeling of love and affection to that person. Oh, that's such a wonderful feeling. Have you ever had that? If you have, let me, by the word of God, say, then you are a child of God. For the apostle says, this is one of the signs that we have passed from death unto life, if we love the brethren. Have you any love to God's people? Have you ever experienced anything as I'm describing to you? Oh, my hearers, I hope that God make every one of us his people, that we all may love each other. Knit together in love. God is love. And where God dwells, that's where love dwells. Now that's what was in the heart of David and in the heart of this man, Jonathan. And therefore he lamented so sorely because he lost practically the best friend that he had in this world. And now we find that in the next chapter, David, he's in this place called Ziklag. And if you would turn to the first book of Chronicles, the 12th chapter, you will find that while he was still in Ziklag, numbers and numbers of mighty men out of the different tribes of Israel came to him. They fell on his side. But David then, his way was clear to the throne. But David, by the right of God, could have immediately, with his army, went forward and took possession of that throne. But he did not do so. But where the way was open for him and everything seemed favorable to him, he inquired of God what he should do. Should I go up and dwell in one of the cities of Israel? My hearers, it's not only good to inquire of God when we're in distress, when we're in trouble, when we need help, but when everything seems favorable to us and when we have a desire to even go into this, first acknowledge him. First ask him if it's his way, whether we should do this or not. This was what David did. He inquired, shall I go up? And God answered him and said, go up. Where should he go? He should go to the city of Hebron. He should then leave the land of the Philistines and go back into the land of Israel, into this particular city called Hebron. This city is one of the ancient cities of the world. Now this city, Hebron, we find that Abraham and Isaac and Sarah were buried there. Now this city is located 20 miles south of Jerusalem, a very beautiful city, a very fruitful territory according to the commentary. It abounded with fruit trees, and much wheat and much grain was grown there. And there was much springs of good water. Now this is where God commanded David to go up to. And David, he, with the men that were with him, they left his place, Ziklag, and they went up to this place called Hebron. And now while David was in this place, Hebron, and we find that this tribe of Judah, And they came and they wanted David to be king over them. And they knew that he had been anointed to be king, and they wanted one whom God had anointed to be king over them, and they desired David to be king. And he accepted it, and they anointed him to be king over the tribe of Judah. Just one tribe. Now this man named David unexpectedly came to be king. He had been anointed a long time before to be king, but he never acquired the throne until now. How many things he went through, and how it looked like he never would become king, still God keeps his word and fulfills his promises. So he did in the life of David. David now is anointed to be king over this tribe. How wonderful.